ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee. Let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Klugman with another woodland escape.
Okay, welcome back once again to Cabin Country. I'm Fudd Klugman.
And I am Bjorn Lloydsted.
I hope it's okay, folks, that you got a short episode last time. I figured I'd peel off the Donovan Bassmaster Classic and just keep it its own entity, just so my cousin Doug and friends could enjoy that. I don't know if they are Cabin Country fans yet and wanted to sit through the Paul Bunyan.
Let us hope.
I'm sure. I keep sending them all these great little tidbits.
Here you are. Mouth-watering.
But, before we get back to our adventures that we recently had in Paul Bunyan Land a few weeks ago, we just wanted to kind of wrap a little bit about our individual adventures of the last week. Now, Bjorn, you went with the family, as you do annually, up to Bemidji.
Ely, Minnesota, yes.
And it's, what's the lodge name again?
Camp Du Nord. It's a YMCA family camp, and it is, you're there for about a week. There are some platform tents you can rent, or you can do a camper cabin, kind of like the state parks do the camper cabins, where there's no electricity, but you got a roof over your head, your own little porch, the whole bit, and then there are fully decked out cabins, and some of which go back to about the 1930s.
Wow.
And they're right on the shores of Burnside Lake. And then they've done a lot of building inside of the last 20 years, too, so some newer structures, very new structures, actually, in the Pine Point section that are all amenities. Everything you could want, flush toilets and full-stock kitchens, showers, the whole bit, and lots of rooms so you can have lots of people. Yeah, it's a good spot. We've been going up there now for 14 years. So
14 years?
14
wow.
years. Oh. Burnside is a huge lake, and it's on a kind of a back bay off the North Arm Road, and I say back bay, but it's quite large in its own right. It could be anybody's lake. You go through a channel, and then you're on the main body of water, and it's a good lake trout lake, I'm told. A lot of people do the downriggers and fish for lake trout. And we were a resource family again last week, so we were helping around camp and enjoying the red pine, a.k.a. Norway pine. I learned something. I remember we open our show every week with Amidst the Norway Pines, and I remember thinking at one point, did I just make that up? Did Fudd just make that up? Is it? And they had a little slate out at one point next to a red pine saying, this is the state tree of Minnesota, the red pine, also known as the Norway Pine.
Oh, so, really?
Yes, it's a beautiful place. The pines are huge and very old, and there are all kinds of interesting spots around camp where there are just groves of these 100-plus foot tall red pines or white pines. The last stand of the white pine did not get cut down by James J. Hill on his logging crews.
Timber!
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful spot. We were up there for a week, and we stayed in a yurt.
Now, what is a yurt?
A round It's kind of a year-round structure, but it's got waterproof sides. You know, the tradition is kind of a Mongolian affair. The hordes of Genghis Khan, you know, his warriors stayed in yurts before they took to the road. And yeah, they're round tents usually, and a lot of space on the inside. They don't look all that big from the outside, but you get inside and it's quite sizable. Ours had a pair of bunk beds and then a twin bed and a refrigerator and a microwave. It was crazy.
Hey, nice.
We've stayed in it many times. It's right off the shores. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful spot. We did a lot of paddling and in canoes, paddling in kayaks, a lot of hiking. I led a edible outdoors hike, one of my favorite things to do.
Right, you're quite. Your knowledge is impressively extensive.
Well, and the resource family that worked with us this week, John of that family, the father, husband, you know, he joined me on that. That's a love of his as well. So we led an outdoors hike up to a pretty high rock outcrop called Old Baldy, and you can see Slim Lake in the distance and blueberries up there and wintergreen berries everywhere. And we were just showing people what was edible and what was dangerous. And there isn't much that's dangerous out there, but yeah, the Juneberries were in fruit. The blueberries were just starting to become ripe. The thimbleberries were flowering. There was a very short, what looked like a raspberry plant all along the paths. Very, very interesting. I'm not sure what they were. They looked and tasted kind of like a raspberry blended with a blackberry. Hmm. Somebody said, are they loganberries? I said, that's an excellent question. it lost me, but each little plant seemed to send out one berry. And they looked unripe to me, but you tried them and they were delicious.
Mouth-watering.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We made wintergreen tea, and I had read in a book by Yule Gibbons, you pick wintergreen and put it in a vessel of some sort and soak it in water for 3 days, and it goes from being sort of wintergreen-flavored water to, after day three, it is pretty much an essential oil of wintergreen. Mm. I took the lid off on day three, and it was like...
Effervescent?
It was starting to bubble a little bit, but I mean, I showed their outdoors kind of specialist in the outdoor... the OAC, Outdoor Activity Center. Yes. Good old Dom. And I was like, hey, have a whiff of this. And I uncorked it. Wow, that's like pure lifesavers. Unbelievable. That's amazing. I want to try that. And so we mixed that with some sparkling water. It was sort of a poor man's kombucha. It was very, very good. Hmm. A lot of the people on staff tried it and passed verdict that it was absolutely delicious. So
excellent.
And yeah,
good for the gut as well.
Good for the stomach. Yes, it was helpful in that and freshening the breath.
Oh, sure.
All that good stuff. So yeah, big dining hall. They just added another wing to it, and you know, people doing music, people out kayaking, people out paddleboarding, people fishing amidst these giant pine trees. And a lot of the newer construction is sort of log construction, that log home kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just very, very cool. It's a great place to be. And you get there on Saturday, and all of a sudden it's Saturday again, and it's time to pack up, clean your cabin, and go home. Head south, and it's always kind of a bittersweet time. It's like, boy, I was just getting used to this. Can I stay here forever? Nope. You could, but...
Time
you'd
to
be,
head back.
You'd be sharing the yurt with a new family, so you either get comfortable with new people or head home. So yeah, it kind of came and went, and
but you're heading back up soon.
Heading back up again. Yeah, we'll be in a large, very modern cabin, the biggest cabin in the Pine Point side of camp. There's the Pine Point side. There's the Dunord Village, and then there's Northland Village. Pine Point is separated by a privately owned piece of land. The camp gets along quite well with that family, but they want to keep their chunk of the North Woods and enjoy it, mm-hmm. as cabin country people do. And so there's a path you can take, a couple different paths, main road, the easy path, or one they call the goat path, which is kind of climbing up rocks and through the woods. It's kind of a challenge, but a lot of fun. And they just put in a new electric and wood-burning sauna right down by the edges of the lake. And so we would... let the day go by and do what we had to do for camp and be of assistance to campers and host some events. And then at night, We just fire up the electric sauna and get it up to about 150 degrees and run out to the lake and stare at the stars and the moon and nobody with us. It was kind of like we had our own private sauna right outside the yurts.
Wow.
And then the last night of camp, per se, they fire it up with wood burning and it gets up to more like 210 degrees, 200 degrees. And
wow.
Yeah, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. They do have, amidst their old cabins, there's the picturesque pilot house, which is really meant for two people. It's built on a rock outcrop over the lake. The porch is actually suspended over the water.
Oh, really?
And people kayak under it all the time and say, wow, that's beautiful. How do I get that cabin? Well, you're getting the lottery and good luck, you know? And then in the main part of cabin, there's a wood-burning log sauna built by some Finnish lumbermen back in the 30s at the request of the school teachers who built the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. Looks very much like the Ham's Beer Light we always pine nostalgically for, the little cabin with the water and the stars. And there you are, right on the waterfront. You get nice and sweaty and barrel down this ramp into the cool waters of Burnside Lake and look up and watch the stars and satellites going over.
You're also an experienced polar plunge
Yes,
fella, too,
yes, we have done at the kindness of some friends of ours. We've been invited to go up every winter these last couple of years. The last couple of years, we've joined our friends up there. And the winterized cabins are open all season, so you can be up there in the winter. And we've gone up over holiday break in December, and they fire up the sauna again at that time of year and cut about an 8x4 chunk of the ice out of the lake and put a ladder in the water. And you put on wool socks. Let me try that again. Wool socks. There we go. You have to put on wool socks so your feet don't stick to the ice as you come down the ramp, and then you jump in the lake, which is bracing, dare I say, and then climb back out, go back in the sauna, do it all over again. So I lead the morning polar plunge in the summer, which is just get up at 7:30 in the morning, run out to the lake, yell your fool head off and come back out. The water's 75 degrees. You know, it's no big deal. It's just a way to wake up. In December, it's a whole different ballgame. So I've done the polar plunge the proper way, where you're actually going through a hole in the ice and shaking the ice out of your hair. Yeah, it's an experience, to be sure.
That's crazy.
And I thought, man, I'd never do that. And then you do it and realize this is actually really cool. So
pretty amazing.
Yeah, unreal. At one point, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they'd shoveled off sort of an ice rink to the left of the hole they cut in the ice. And there were counselors out there playing hockey as I'm like up to my chin in the water. They're skating and slapping a puck. I'm in the lake. Oh my.
Surreal.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. But doable and refreshing and very cool.
Camp
downright
Dort.
Cold. And that's just cool.
Yeah. Sounds like an awesome place.
Well, and I'll throw in one more tidbit, not to get long-winded here, but they do a lot of really interesting kind of on-the-spot outdoors education, where they have slates they've hung from little hooks in the woods, kind of explaining what you're looking at, you know, and things that grow naturally there. You know, this is pink lady slipper. This is a relative of our state flower, the showy lady slipper. This is, you know, a native orchid comes up in the woods. And unbelievable just to see these flowers coming up. Or this is sweet fern. It's kind of a plant of the hedgerows and sides of the roads and old bog lands, but it looks kind of like Florida sawgrass if you've ever been down to I know you've spent some time in the Miami environs and, you know, Melbourne and places like that, Orlando, Florida. But this stuff, you break the leaves off and crush them up. They have a real cologne kind of scent to them, almost incense-y and
swarthy, manly scent.
Well, yes. And it's if you chew it, it refreshes your breath again. At the same time there, too, you add that to hot water and get a real refreshing kind of outdoors tea. So I've made it. I've enjoyed tea made by it by friends. Sweet fern, I'm sorry, and then some white pine needles. And if you've got the 3-day, you know, matured wintergreen leaves, it's delicious. I mean, it's wonderful. And you kind of feel like, this must have been what it was like back turn of the century or long ago, you know, what people were doing for something interesting to drink and stay hot with, stay warm, I guess.
It's impressive. I mean, you really have the true North experience up there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's different than, you know, the cabin in Baxter Brainerd. Opportunities to do the same, but not quite as pristine in a sense.
And on that pristine front too, right along, I mean, they own that whole stretch kind of along the shore, and then the next camp over to the left from Due Nord is Camp Widgewagen, which is a place where young people will start any of their various trips, either backpacking in the Bighorn Mountains. I think it's the Bighorns. I hope someone calls Don and corrects me if I'm wrong, but they'll do backpacking trips out to mountains in Wyoming, kayaking trips in the Arctic Circle, and the kind of more common trip, especially for younger kids, is they'll Burnside right there. You're right on the edge of the Boundary Waters,
mm-hmm.
So they'll do trips either into the Boundary Waters or cross into the Canadian side in the Quetico Park, and so they're out for days paddling in the Boundary Waters, camping, portaging, you know, cooking, campfire cooking, that kind of stuff. So they own all that stretch of the bay back there, and they've kind of requested, this is a motor-free zone. The only thing you're going to see out there, at least on the campsite, are kayaks and canoes, and or the occasional camper on a paddleboard. Some of the neighbors do have power boats, but they're very good about staying out of camp water, so you really don't hear a lot of motors. And what you hear is paddles. And, there's Blueberry Island offshore where there's blueberries. And on the far side of this little rock outcrop, there's you can dive off and it slopes away deep. I know both you and I are a little gun shy on dark, deep water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a granite face just going straight down into the lake, and it gets dark fast. And but people love to go out there and just jump and have a good time. And you look through the channel off to the side, couple of hundred yards away, and you're going through a channel out into either Burnside or, I've yet to, with my bum shoulders, I don't do a lot of distance paddling, but you can gain access into the Boundary Waters from there as well. Again, someone might call, Don, would you please correct Bjorn on that one? You actually have to go a ways. But it's you're right on the edge. I mean, it's beautiful, it's pristine, it's wild. If you're absolutely determined, by all means, canoe out onto the big lake, and you'll see power boaters and fishermen and all that good stuff. But the kind of backwater areas of Burnside, the North Arm Road, it's one side of the road is the Superior National Forest, the other side is camp, and it's quiet. And they encourage everybody strongly to dock their phone for a week.
Why?
iPad, whatever you've got, laptop, turn it off. Stay off the grid for a while. Just get back to nature and enjoy the silence, you know. They'll do night hikes through the woods. They'll do all kinds of stuff. A lot of their wood-fired saunas for adults are 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night. Beautiful, beautiful stars. I mean, 10 times the stars we see here in the Oakdale Studios.
I can imagine.
Occasionally, too, some northern lights. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Is it difficult to reserve spots up there?
You know, you get your name in kind of there. It's a lottery system. You get your name in there, and they try to keep it as equitable as possible. You get a phone call in the spring, and they tell you, we've got this slot. What week works for you? And what's your first choice? And then we can tell you what's left. It's popular to the point where there really aren't ever open spots. It's the camp is full almost all the time, and it's a real kind of camaraderie thing. People get to know each other and hang out and enjoy the campfires and talk with each other. The dining hall is communal and family style, so it's send up a walker and bring back food for the table and get to know people around you. It's if you're hoping to go up there and enjoy a fortress of solitude, it's probably not going to happen. You're encouraged to get to know your fellow campers and a lot of good friendships are made up there. That's just, I realize I sound like kind of an ad campaign for it, but there's no reason not to, because there isn't a downside to it. So it's, 14 years I've always come away with this sort of blissed out sense of serenity.
Yeah.
And then I go back to planning for work, or I go back to mowing the lawn, or I go back, oops, I got to wash the car. Dang. Where are the white pines? Where did they all go? Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, let's hang on to that serenity for just a moment longer. We'll do a little stargazing here and take a short break. Hear a word from our sponsors, but don't go away. We'll be back with more Cabin Country after this.
This segment of Cabin Country is brought to you by Horseshoe Plug, that satisfying chaw you might share with Granddad. Horseshoe. You'll be hard-pressed to find a more pleasing wad.
Attention outdoor and active types in Cabin Country. We proudly present CC30, the Cabin Country workout brought to you by the Cabin Country Podcast in cooperation with Timberwolf Gyms. C90, C60, with the Cabin Country Workout, you'll only need 30 minutes.
Let's go!
Start your workout by livering up your back with the CC30 Fishing Boat Bailout. All of our Timberwolf gyms boast your choice of 12, 16, or 18-foot fishing boats, each holding a full 3 days' worth of rain. Your choice of coffee can or modified plastic milk jug bailing device. Empty that craft and move on.
Squat poles? Who does that anymore? Timberwolf gyms offer you the outboard start. Choose from a lineup of 5, 9, 25, and 40 horse vintage outboards, all of which await your best efforts to get them started. Some are flooded, others are just plain old. Pull with everything you've got. Once you've got that up and running,
it's the chainsaw challenge. You've heard of lat flies? Here's the big daddy of lat flies. Similar to the outboard start, but with a different stance and angle to really work those triceps, lats, back, and neck muscles. If the chainsaws are all in use, you'll get a similar workout with the Cabin Country old lawn mower pole. You'll pull until your arms ache and never get these saws or mowers started. Aggressive, intense, some say almost impossible.
And if it's straight up core, upper body, and arm strength training you're looking for, head out behind each of our Timberwolf gyms and choose your axe or maul. It's stump clearing or log splitting time. You're not done until you've stacked one full cord. This is the workout where the tires hit the pavement or the boots hit the trail. The CC30 workout. The toughest workout you'll ever love. Now let's join Fudd and Bjorn back in Cabin Country.
Yeah, the challenge of finding a resort, you know, they advise you to, you got to go at least a year out when you're trying to make your reservations. And last year, my wife Molly and I celebrated, I think, oh my gosh, what was it? She better not listen to this.
15 years?
Yeah, 15 years.
There we go.
She better not listen to this episode. Although I have to admit, folks, I don't know if I've shared this yet, that when my wife flies for business, that's when she'll maybe tune into a Cabin Country podcast episode, and she falls asleep. And it's good, because she gets pretty nervous when sure. She's flying. And, the sound of my voice, I guess, and Bjorn's voice. But that's okay, you know? If Cabin Country is something that you want to tune into and just relax and fall asleep to, hey, that's no problem. Just don't drive, I guess.
The cabin equivalent of The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross.
Yeah, right.
We have a soporific effect on people. Calming.
Indeed. But I was going to say that for some reason we decided, well, let's not go to the cabin. We always go to the cabin. Let's make it somewhere else. And in fact, we were thinking about going out of the country, but then it turned out to be too much. So I said, no, let me handle it.
Right.
I'll find a place for us. But by the time I was starting to organize, we're talking a couple of months in advance. And so we went to Detroit Lakes, and it was, you know, in fact, you take 10 from the Twin Cities all the way up, and we passed where we go up to the cabin, past 371, so for another hour, it's like 4.5 hours, and we went, and the only place I could find available was essentially a hotel. It was a lodge-themed hotel. You know, I'd happy to be doing a plug for it, but I honestly can't remember.
You probably clear it first.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But it was.
You don't know us, but we're advertising for
you. It was a very nice stay. In fact, we took. That was the first time that she and I went up to Itasca.
Yeah.
And did the you know. You
walked across.
Walked across
the source.
The headwaters of the Mississippi.
Man River.
The old man, the old miss, the mighty Mississippi.
Yeah, that was fun. But it's, of course, I'm just used to, well, I have my cabin, you know. I don't have to plan ahead. I just cleared with my dad. And speaking of my dad, I will try to quickly highlight the trip I just took last week.
I was going to say, I blathered on for quite a while here. Let's while hear
you
what
were
Fudd
in
was just doing.
Pristine woods and waters of Camp Du Nord up
you
in
bet.
Burnside Lake. We went up to the cabin. I took my two girls, and they are 13 and 14, and we went up with my dad and his wife. We brought up the tracker, the
mm-hmm.
boat.
Oh, yes.
And it was a nice time. The fishing was not good at all. I caught one northern and
lost another white whale.
Lost a white whale. Kind of just started using these, the big rubber wormy things. They've got this sort of circular tail that sort of jiggle in the water, and they've got the big front end, and you kind of put it on a big hook. Well, I don't use a leader, or I haven't been so far, so I've missed four now.
Uh-oh.
Where I'm fishing with the thing, and suddenly all I'm bringing up is a line. I don't even feel it. So, there you go. Time to put a leader on if I'm going to use that rig again. But no, it was nice to sit in the luxury of this boat. In fact, we went out early in the morning, as you do, if you're trying to catch the prime time, as my cousin
Absolutely.
Doug said, the prime time between like 5 and 7:30 a.m. And we got out there, and my dad commented on, boy, this is nice for a change, because all his life he's been rowing, either in something like the Sea Maid or the pontoon we had. He was always the helmsman, making sure that all of us were able to fish.
Helm.
He's turning 75 this year, which isn't that old.
No.
But I can tell the years are taking a toll. We were both sort of limping around the cabin this last week, just sort of, I don't know, tired. And this is only the second time that I've dealt with getting the boat in and out of the water.
Yeah, I understand there were some teething troubles.
It was. So I experienced beginner's luck that first time for the Donovan Bassmaster Classic.
In and out, nice and easy.
I felt like a pro. Hey, this isn't so bad. Look at me.
We did have Scotty Cummins with us on that trip and his son
true.
Toby, and it went pretty smoothly.
Everything went fine. I wasn't embarrassed that the other experienced guys in their big trucks and in the trailers and everything. But this time was a different story.
So what happened? Tell us about it, Fudd.
Well, let's see if I can keep it succinct. Most of the trouble was getting the thing out. Like, I'd taken it out, you pull it up the ramp, and you pull into a parking spot, and then that's when you have to batten down the hatches, let it drain, make sure all those, you know, no aquatic plants are sticking, because
right.
you don't want to transfer anything. Yes, nothing of that kind was on there. But as I was going to strap everything in and put on what's called a transom saver, you know, and it supports the motor from bouncing along as you're driving, I noticed it wasn't fitting right. It turns out that the boat wasn't winched all the way into the trailer like it should be. And so my dad quickly tried to give, like, well, maybe we can try to... no way. No, we're not pushing this big thing. So we sat there and for a minute and thought, we got to go back in the water with this thing. So, and you know how it is. It's like the first time you do something, it kind of goes okay. But then getting back in there was just a real chore. And I got it in crooked to the point where then I tried to straighten it out. And then my wheels were spinning. Oh my gosh, I'm stuck. Well, okay, let's freeze. Let's let the boat out. You know, we got the rope. And maybe we can maneuver the trailer before we reattach the boat.
Winch it back up.
And we did that. I finally, back and forth, got the trailer straight, pulled the boat back on, made sure it was winched all the way up tight. It took a little effort, but we got it halfway up the ramp and decided to pause there. And I went back and saw that the water was draining out of the plug. So after I took the boat out the first time, I took out the plug. And, well, that's what you do. You let the thing drain, and you don't put the plug in until you put it in next time.
Fully drained.
Although I didn't think of that when we put the boat back in because...
Whoopsie-daisy.
So, yeah, we sat there for 10 minutes with our mouths agape going, oh, my, look at all the water that got in the boat. It's amazing we got the thing up the ramp. So I can tell you by the end of that, I mean, we were driving back to the cabin, and my dad was saying, like, oh, I don't think I have any scotch. I think I could really go for a scotch right now. Well, we've got wine. We'll just have a glass of wine or two.
I just got to ask, too, Fudd, while you were doing all this, were there people, like, waiting?
No. This was a Thursday night.
All right.
This is a week after July 4th holiday.
Sure.
Nobody's up there. In fact, when we went in on the Tuesday, so we went up Tuesday through Thursday, and we went up Tuesday evening, and there was one other person there, and we got our boat in, and the older fella said to my dad, you know, you guys are lucky. There's a tournament that's about to start in about a half an hour here. In half an hour, there's going to be, you know, a dozen guys coming down here. Or women.
Later
on the water, I didn't see any women. But
think of the fun you'd have had if there was a lineup of like six boats.
Oh, my God.
Hey, come on, Junior. What are you doing? As novice.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Greatly embarrassed.
You could have backed off and let some people go first and then sank.
I think for the... right.
The tracker is now the sinker. Here it goes.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, there's that. And, of course, I've said a couple of times how I'm using a minivan, which is doing just fine.
And taxing the that
trailer
transmission.
Has the brakes in it, so it's...
You're here.
But still, I'm a little self-conscious about that. But truth be told, the way most fishermen are... If there's somebody in trouble, you get help.
Right.
There'd probably be five guys saying, like, no, you got to just turn your wheel this way and make go. That, you know, so I'm sure, but...
17 cooks.
That wouldn't have meant I it would have saved me embarrassment. I would still be, you know, just...
Well, it worked out. I'll say this much. On our drive home from Ely, I saw someone coming up 35 north on the side of the road with what looked like the same rig you've got for a trailer. Trying to repair a flat.
Oh, my goodness.
And then... Just a little north of Cloquet at a stoplight, all I could figure was people were like backing up and moving around, and some with boats on trailers, but there was somebody there with what looked like a relatively new rig, but all I could gather as we slowly went by them was that their trailer hitch had let go and dropped down to the pavement.
Oh, no.
So the trailer and everything looked normal, but the front end of that trailer was down on the road level.
Wow.
And there was a guy standing there just looking like, oh my gosh, what now? You know?
Yeah.
Vehicle and trailer and boat still in one lane. Green light. You know, but boom, we've effectively blocked traffic here. I felt bad for the guy. I was like,
wow.
I don't know that I'm going to add anything to help you here, so.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Like I said, I was fooled by my apparent beginner's luck, and then... This time around, it was a lot more challenging, but that's all right. Using the boat itself was fabulous. But
classic old grandparent lore, you learn by doing.
That's right.
You learn some valuable lessons.
Doing, so.
Absolutely. But other than the hijinks, you had a good time.
Yes. Yes, it was a good time. It was warm, but this is the first time in a while I've slept, and my dad's got kind of a bunkhouse. He used to call it a shop because he did some project work out there, but it's also... You know, it's got bunks in there and
sure
its own toilet, and so it was really nice. And the girls were out there, and I tell you, it made me appreciate the main cabin. You know, it's modest, but as I've said before, very comfortable. It's got a little shower, and you know, sink and little bathroom, and
absolutely.
But it's kept so clean most of the time. And I spent like an hour or so getting, because my girls were like, really, we're gonna sleep in the bunkhouse? I saw spiders in there, so I had to, of course, vacuum every inch, you know, floor to ceiling, and worked up a sweat in the humid weather there. But no, it was all good. It was really good to spend some time up there with my dad and in the boat, in the new boat.
Making memories.
Yes, making new memories.
Absolutely. That's pretty much what cabin country is about, right?
Well, it is. It is. And I was saying to you earlier that, you know, I don't know if we've exhausted all of our old memories, but we are starting to make new memories here. We've got
the bunkhouse and Pillager, or if it's Paul Bunyan Land, or
that's
Camp
right,
Du Nord, or whatever. You know,
Camp Du Nord, and
good memories, and they'll stay with people.
We're going to take another quick break here and warm up our coffees. When we come back, Bjorn will say a final word or two about a feature of Camp Du Nord that's too good not to mention. Mitt's Coffees is proud to offer their newest blend for coffee lovers across the Northwest.
Supremian Colombo, a rich, full-bodied dark coffee that is strong enough to be your daybreak blend, but not so powerful that you'll have to stop after two or three cups. Supremian Colombo is a great choice for an everyday blend, a brew that will accompany you through your day while letting you still get a rewarding night's sleep. Join the legions of foreign place kickers and disheveled private investigators who swear by it.
Just one more cup.
Supremian Colombo is the coffee for you.
Brought to you by Mitt's Coffee Roasters, the brew that flew with the great Northwest.
Celebrating the 4th of July, our nation's birthday. What a better place to do it than the Great North Woods. Fun, fireworks, and fanfare. And who better to celebrate it with than good old Lloyd?
Well, it's great to be with you here in the Gull River for the annual 4th of July pontoon boat parade. Everybody's got their pontoons decorated to celebrate our country's freedom. Oh, it just makes me proud. And thanks again for letting me be here to start y'all rolling. And I think it'd be fitting if I started with the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, say can you see my... Oh, okay.
And why not stick around and join good old Lloyd as he thinks back to some of his fondest memories from 4th of July past?
Standing up here this evening, I'm filled with so much pride. Proud to be an American and looking out amongst all you and... getting ready to see the... are we going to start those already? Oh, that was close. I'm supposed to talk about my memories. They were going to...
Sit down, Lloyd.
Even on the 4th of July, that's Lloyd. Good old Lloyd.
Now back to Bjorn Lloydsted and Fudd Klugman, Cabin Country.
Now, on top of all the incredible features up at Camp Du Nord, you were telling me there was something else you forgot to mention.
Yeah, somehow, Fudd, I left out what for many parents of kids at Du Nord is one of the greatest selling points, and that is... every day of the week, starting Monday, you know, Sunday is kind of Saturday, Sunday, get your feet wet, get acculturated to camp, understand how to use the canoes, the kayaks, and use them properly and put them back respectfully. PDFs, you don't go on the water without a personal flotation device.
Right.
All that good stuff. But starting Monday, all the way through Friday, 9 o'clock in the morning, I believe, all the kids, if they choose to, and a lot of times parents are like, and you're going to choose to. They'll meet at the main center of camp for nature notes. So they'll learn all kinds of interesting things about, you know, the North Woods through through camp counselors who work up there and naturalists. And then from about 9:30 until 12 every day, your kids are in age groups, off on kind of wild outdoorsy adventures with the camp counselors and lots of fun game activities, lots of sort of nature hike kind of things, lots of let's learn how to paddle and, you know, beach day, let's get down to the water. But so for 2.5 hours, parents have kid-free
breathing
time to their own. Absolutely.
Wow. And,
you know, for a lot of people, that's let's go into the trading post and get a really fancy coffee drink and sit down on the porch of the dining hall and a rocking chair, read my book and enjoy my coffee and amidst the red and white pines and the groves of aspen trees. And it's unbelievable. And the kids love it because they're with other kids their own age and they're being led by super positive, you know, young kind of teenage, I would say probably college age, counselors that know the woods well and, you know, have gone through all the medical training and all that good stuff, but they're in great hands. And as I've heard many a parent say, and the kids are out of my hair for 2.5 hours. I get to just enjoy the North Woods. And then they come back together and we all go off to lunch, enjoy our afternoons as families and whatever. But yeah, there's 2.5 hours of your kids are with fully qualified outdoors counselors that take them on all kinds of fun adventures. That's very cool. The nature notes are always good. And if you do the whole week's worth of nature notes, you get a cool little patch you can sew onto your backpack or your...
All right.
Whatever, you know. Lots of good things. I've heard many people say as camp comes to a close, I'm going to miss this now. I got to go back home and there's no 2.5 hour break.
Oh, yes.
We all love our kids. Let's not kid ourselves. But
well, of course. But
yes.
Having a break.
Wow, there you are. And you know they're well being cared for. You know, it's usually 3 or 4 young adults with each age group.
Oh, sure.
And that age group situation is from newborns all the way up to 18-year-olds. So...
You know? Wow. Well, yeah, when your kids are younger, that's got to be quite a wonderful thing to just...
A lot of people reading a book and rocking and enjoying a very fancy coffee drink, you know. And,
nice.
And listening to the wind or the loons. And, that's a huge selling point. And they do have everything you'd want. You want to go fishing? You can borrow their fishing equipment.
Yeah.
They'll sell you some bait. You want to do an overnight? You can leave with a counselor and go out into the surrounding areas and pitch a tent for the night and do camp cooking and come back the next day. All kinds of interesting things. But boy, that the idea of the age groups really, really has gone a long way for a lot of parents who go up there. They really appreciate that. And so I wanted to make sure I included that because for years, you know, my wife and I were like, oh, good. I love you, kid, but go enjoy the outdoors.
Yes. So I can enjoy
exactly.
The outdoors.
We're going to kayak over to Blueberry Island.
Nice.
Enjoy ourselves. So,
are there any then and now Bjorn recollections of camp duty?
Well, I just remember both my kids. You know, my daughter was very young when we started going up. My son was maybe 6, mm-hmm. and he met his first counselor and thought the guy was, you know, a godlike status. Immediately followed him around the whole week and hey, I'm going to bother you. And the counselors are great. I mean, you couldn't bother them, you know. And the irony being now. My son is a counselor up at the camp, and my daughter is getting ready to do their leadership, training program. It's the LDP's leadership development program. They're basically counselors in training, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks at a shot, and helping with running the age groups and helping set up for breakfast in the morning and helping keep camp clean and running efficiently. So I've watched them kind of grow from little kids staring at their counselors going, those are cool people. I want to be like them. And now they are those people, you know. And
right.
So it's come full circle. And they're enjoying it just as much now as they did when they were sub 10 years old and chasing their counselors around with lots of questions, requests, and the like. So
just think about your kids, Bjorn. They've grown up with this great experience and how different it is from you and I growing up with cabins. In fact,
right.
I know your wife also grew up camping with her family,
right.
going to campsites
right.
and so forth. And how I've always thought, no, the few times I've gone camping,
give me
just
a cabin.
Doesn't compare.
Yeah. Home away from home. I know it well. I'm invested in it. I know everything about it.
I mean, it is different. Again, I'm thinking about the incredible scenery that you're in. And I love Gull River and Baxter area. But... It's just a whole different feel.
Absolutely. Well, it's, you know, you've heard me in shows past weeping maudlinly about losing a cabin.
Yes.
What I can say about, you know, my annual trip or trips to Du Nord is I do my part while I'm there and leave it cleaner than I found it and love it for all it's worth. And at the same time, I don't have a second mortgage.
Yeah.
When we pull out on Saturday after, you know, late morning or early morning, depending on how ready we are. You know, it's someone else's to enjoy, and I'll be back next year. You know,
mm-hmm.
And the maintenance is very well done. They do a great job of keeping it up, and I don't have to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that's the beauty part of it. When I finally got over my weepy story about whatever happened to my cabin on the whitefish chain, you know, there's a lot of housekeeping and maintenance things I often remember now. At the time I was lamenting the loss of the cabin, I never dawned on me I might have to re-roof the place, or they're putting in a more modified sewer system in Cross Lake proper. I'm gonna be paying more in taxation, or you know, it's up to me to pull the dock out and drain the water out of the lines and all that good stuff. And you learn to love that too. And we've talked about that on past episodes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as a cabin owner, it's just part of the deal, and it's your place, and you can do what you want to it, etc. But you know, there's the flip side of, you go to a place like Dunord. When you leave, it's still pristine, and it'll be there again next year if your name comes up in the lottery and you get that phone call. And 14 years, we haven't been missed yet. So
I haven't lost out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That's one more thing that.
Well, good.
The first year I was there, that was like a little gift from heaven. I was like, oh my goodness!
Wow,
you're gonna.
You mean.
Wow.
I can,
yeah.
Young, have to...
young adults, they'd rather be around than me for 2.5 hours. Oh, my goodness. This is
boy.
Wonderful. So,
wow.
All
that's,
good.
That's
so,
terrific.
Glad we threw that in there. So.
Well, excellent. Well, since we had so much fun kind of talking about Burntside Lake and Camp Dunord, and looking at the clock on the wall here, and it's like, I think we're going to have to wait with Paul Bunyanland until the next episode.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's already in there.
It's waiting. It's in the can. It's ready to go.
It's in the can. It just needs to be, you know, Don's got to do whatever, you know, do his
whatever
magic
Don
to it.
Does. Don, let's get on that.
To bring it alive.
Sake. Put down the coffee cup. Put down the magazine. Let's get back to work. Here we go.
But one other thing I wanted to share is that I just heard from our friend Mike Leon.
Yes.
Who
yes.
has just published his third book about Doc. I don't know what it's called yet, but he just texted me and he said, what's your address? I want to send you my new book. And I texted back, oh my God, that's exciting. All right. We're going to have to do a new show about your new book. So yes, chalk that one up for something in the near future. Another visit with Mike Leon and his new book. And he even shared with me, Bjorn, that he said a couple of stories were inspired by us.
Inspired by Fudd and Bjorn.
He said inspired by Use Guys, Y-O-U-S-E.
I love it.
Inspired by Use Guys. I don't know what he can say. Well, yeah, you guys like to talk, don't you?
What are you saying, Mike?
Well, it's, you know, I don't know how reliable they'd be in a duck blind or in the boat fishing, but...
Hunting in the duck.
They sure like to
the
talk about
duck blind
it.
During the October blizzard of 91.
Yes, 91. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I got to be honest, Fudd. I kind of, you know, being joined by Mike a couple times at the Sportsman Show and here in the Oakdale Studios, I like to kind of think of him as the third member.
Oh yes,
of the Cabin Country podcast. So
yeah, he kind of has been with us
without a doubt
in our inaugural
a good
year.
Team member. So
I look forward to seeing Mike back on the show and
Mike in front of the mic, Mike at the mic,
and reading those new stories.
Yes,
and
something to look forward to.
Hearing
but,
about,
but we will get the Paul Bunyanland episode out first. We promise.
And of course, those of
very
you
important
who are followers know that we did discuss Paul Bunyan a couple times, but. This is when we visited and talked with the owners and walked around the grounds and
graciously given the opportunity to walk the entire property and see everything. And there was more yet to see. So
a lot to see. Well, we hope you'll join us next time when we visit that great giant of the Northwoods, Paul Bunyan, in Cabin Country.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.